Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more. Black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the halls and the smells of North America. And as always, I count this a privilege, I count this a joy, I count this an honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio, the most hard-hitting, most revolutionary, most liberating radio broadcast anywhere to be found on the shores of North America. We are ecstatic to be able to come into your homes, come into your cars, to talk to you by phone, talk to you by internet capability. We're happy to be able to talk to our family, give an honor to the Black God, the God of our forefathers and our foremothers, who answers to many names over and down the worlds of time. We thank that Black God, that divine regenerative force, for doing what was prophesied and written, for seeking and saving us who were lost here in the halls of North America. We are thankful on this day for all of the freedom fighters, all of the warriors, all of the strugglers, all of those who have lifted the bloody stained banner, the red, the black, and the green, who have fought the battle and raised the cry of freedom of death and black power here in the halls of North America. We give honor to all of those who have come before us, our ancestors, our Panther regiment from Lyons County, Alabama, from Oakland, California, from San Francisco to New York, on into Dallas, Texas in 1989, and right now here today with the new Black Panther Party. We are thankful, and we have to say, for all of those who are practicing on this August the 1st, according to the white man's calendar, although we know they don't know what time it is, we are thankful and want to say Ramadan Mubarak for all of those who are practicing Ramadan right now. For all of you who are fasting and for all of you who are detoxing, for all of you right now who are cleansing your body, both mind, body, and soul, we say happy Ramadan to you. We also want to say to you that you have to buckle your seatbelts and that you have to dig down and dig in tight today right now. Because we look forward to hearing from our big brother, a man who has been working tirelessly day and night. It's what stays on the black man's mind. He stays at it, stays committed, stays fighting, stays in the struggle, and not for one iota lets up a part of it. Today, you're going to hear from the national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who has really held his peace. He's held his peace and hasn't had much to say over the last few weeks, hasn't said nothing, hasn't spoken nothing, and now he's bubbling over. Now he's bubbling over, and he's looking at the hypocrisy of the white man and the hypocrisy of this peace, and looking at the apathy of our people, and he can't take it no more. And so he'll be addressing us today, and we're happy to have Bob on the show as we talk about the crisis of the black nation. We talk about the crisis of the black nation as they're talking about the crisis with the debt and the ceiling. We're talking about, damn it, the crisis of the black nation as we now find ourselves in the most despicable position, begging and scratching what we don't get to shuffle our feet for the white man still trying to get a bite and a place to stay in the hills of North America. This is Black Power Radio, sending you greetings from every single solitary chapter, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Happy to let you know that we're pushing forward to a millions rally. We're pushing forward to a millions rally that will be held in Harlem, New York. If you thought you were asleep, you're going to wake up now. We're talking about Harlem Millions March. We're talking about ending the bombing, ending the illegal sanctions, ending Bloomberg's destruction. This is going to be happening Saturday, August the 13th. It ain't happening a year from now. Saturday, August the 13th, we're asking not that you make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, not that you even make a pilgrimage to Mecca, not that you make a pilgrimage to Kenneth, but you make your pilgrimage to Black Harlem. And you get out into Harlem, and you fall on in, and get your assignment, and find out what's happening, how we can secure the black nation, as we said, in mind, body, and soul, but also black economic dollar, and get the greedy corporate hands of the white man's press up off of Africa's resources and the land. And so to all the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense who are listening, we say that you got to tighten up your boots, lace up your boots, and put a good frown on them. Put your uniform in the dry cleaners now. Wash it out by hand. Do what you got to do. Make sure your beret is crisp and clean without lint on it. Make sure you got the right body oil on it. Make sure your teeth are brushed and your hair is combed, because we're going to be on center stage. And we intend, by the grace of the Almighty Black God, to let it be known that our national chairman ain't taking no stuff, and that our party ain't taking no stuff, and that while everybody else is punking out, and everybody else is bowing out, and everybody else is tiring out and walking out, the new Black Panther Party is still standing strong. Even though all of our enemies have thrown barrages at us and thrown their attacks at us and thrown their slanders at us and thrown their propaganda at us and thrown whatever they've had at us, we have tripped up their traps and not got caught in one of them by the grace of that black God. And so when you hear our national chairman today on this radio show, just know that this is not a black man who hasn't been through nothing. This is not a black man who's just sitting around talking smack. This is not a black man who's just sitting around waiting for something to happen. This is a black man that is making it happen. A black man that is doing what he has to do. A black man that is answering the call of time and is doing what is necessary for the liberation and salvation of our people. This ain't no plaything. This is the type of thing that people have been incarcerated for. People have lost their lives before. People have lost their families before. People have went hungry, naked, and out of doors all for the liberation and salvation of you and myself. And so I ask that as we prepare to bring our national chairman off, that we don't take this lightly, that we don't take this moment in time as no plaything, that we don't sit around and just listen on the phone and think that this is something that one man can do on his own or one woman can do on her own, or that you got to sit back and watch the new Black Panther Party, blood, sweat, and tears, and you ain't got to put in no work yourself. You got to put in some action, black man and black woman. And so we ask that you get involved. Of course, with the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we ask that you get involved with our Day of Action Movement. The website is dayofactionmovement.org. You can get with us and email us at nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. We say, what is that for? That's for liberation in your hood. That's for freedom in your community. That's for cars. That's for shelter. That's for security. That's for sanity in the hills of North America. Email us at nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. Russia in the No Holds Barred conference, as he said, that this black man will not sell you out, that this black man will not talk out, that this black man will not give you up, and that when he ran on a black ticket, and as he's running, as he's pushing today, he is pushing and he is running on a black ticket, and he's standing strong in 2011, and so wherever you are, in the hills of North America, wherever you are, if you're in the Gambia, wherever you are, if you're in London, England, wherever you are, if you're in Australia, hell, if you're in China, if you're in the Isle of the Pacific, if you're in Cuba, wherever you are, when you see this black man, give this black man a original salute, a Panther salute, come to attention and give this man the honor that's due because he's putting in work. Right now in 2011. And whatever you see in this black man, as he tell me, as I'm telling you, whatever you see in this black man, just know that it's a reflection of what is in you. Whatever gift you see in this black man, just know it's a reflection of the gift that is in you. And so my dear brothers and my sisters, we're here today to stand strong and to not let our ancestors down and to not let those who have come before us, their works, their vision, their love, their support, their ingenuity, their brilliance, go to waste and be in vain. We're here to let those who have made the ultimate sacrifice and who have transitioned and who have given their lives, and those who have taken lives, and those who are standing up today giving their lives, we're here to not let that go in vain. And so we ask that wherever you are, you stand strong today. No matter what you see outside your door, no matter what the condition is that we face, whatever it is that we have to go through, we ask that you look your enemy in the eye. You look your enemy in the eye and say, enemy, whatever it is that you got to bring, ask that you better bring it. Whatever it is that you got to do, you better do it, because we don't come with what we got to come with. We're going to put the program down. We're going to push for black power, black laws, for all black people, freedom or death, righteousness, truth, harmony, justice, and reciprocity in this evil world. It is our time, black man and woman. It is our time. And as it says in the scripture, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. So if you ruled in the beginning, black man and black woman, then now beyond the shadow of a doubt, you will rule in the end. And so no matter how much white imperialism they put on Africa, or how much white imperialism and colonialism they put on you and me in the hands of North America, if you stay strong, and if you resist, and if you do the right things and make the right move, you will be successful here in this Ramadan season. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, without any further delay, it is my honor to bring to you a man who is well-seasoned and well-trained and who is groomed for this hour that we live in. I ask that wherever you are, you come close to your radios and to your phones and take in every word that this brother has to say to us. Help us to bring back to the radio with a strong round of applause, and if you're a pastor, if you're a loved one of ours, a mighty black power, our national chairman, this is doctor and attorney, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, black power.
Black man, you keep us so strong, can you take 5 more minutes? And keep right on teaching. I'll be on in 5 minutes, but I want to keep hearing you teach while I continue to get prepared for the broadcast. Go right ahead, black man.
Yes, sir. And so all praise is due to the black guy. We have an extension of an extra 5 minutes. And all we're doing on here, my dear brothers and sisters, is just bearing witness to our national chairman, the party that we have, and bearing witness to ourselves. And so we're right black at it. Once again, dear family, if any other people saw themselves in the condition that you and I find ourselves in, they would fight with everything they have. They wouldn't be talking about it can't be done, it can't be challenged, it can't be stopped, there's nothing we can do, it's hopeless. If anybody else in the world find themselves in the condition that we find ourselves in, they would give everything they have, every man, every woman, Oklahoma people sent warriors and armies against the Hyksos, and eventually in the 18th dynasty drove them up out of Kemet so that we can have some peace and some freedom and some equality. Once again, that's been our mistake. Our mistake has been we have embraced our enemies and taken our enemies for friends, and we have taken our brothers and our sisters for enemies. We got to reverse the cycle, and we got to learn from history. Right now, in 2011, we have to now drive the enemy first from our minds and our hearts and our bodies and our spirit, and then we got to drive the enemy from the land. For those of you that's in Africa, you must now begin to organize and drive the enemy from the land. The Black Power General told you that if he was in charge of South Africa, he would give them a period of time. And he says after a period of time, he would begin to annihilate everything that was right, that was in sight. He would remove them from the land. The lessons of the Nation of Islam told you that you had to begin to remove the devil from every single part of the planet Earth. And so as we cleanse ourselves in this time period, whatever you want to call it, we have to now begin to cleanse the physical land, begin to cleanse our language, begin to cleanse our minds, begin to cleanse our mouths and our actions, and begin to cleanse our revolutionary work. We want our work to be a shining example of the program that we say it represents. We want our work to stand for decades and generations so that the babies, your babies and my babies and those who come down the river Tide can look at our statues as we look at Khufu and we look at Imhotep and we look at the temple Doja and so many others. We look at them and we marvel and wonder. We want our works in 2011 to be a shining example of who we are and what we stood for and what we stand for. But in this hour, if we punk out and we don't stand up, then the generations that come out, brothers and sisters, they will cut our damn heads off. They will take our heads off our shoulders because they will say, you were existing during the time of the New Black Panther Party. You existed during the time of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. You didn't go to war with the enemy. You didn't organize against the enemy. You didn't stand against the enemy. And they'll take your head off your shoulder because you're too cowardly and you wouldn't stand up in this hour. Don't face that fate, brother and sister. Let's stand up and organize. Let's be strong like our comrade Robert Mugabe, who is organizing and pushing in the face of British imperialism. Let's be strong and organized like the comrades around the world, like Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, who is standing up against U.S. imperialism and fighting the good fight and surviving the good fight by the grace of the Black God. Let's be strong in the hills of North America and not allow anything to stand in our way. And so my time is up. That's my 5 minutes. And so once again, I want to bring back to our radio, and I thank him for this time, our national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and national organizer and co-convener of the Day of Action Movement. This is Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Yes, Black Power. Black Power. All power to the people. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. Shalom, Hotep, Yahuru, free the land, and black laws for all black people. Dear sisters and brothers, we've heard plenty of fire from our national spokesman and my national spokesman in the New Black Panther Party. And we're back live here on the radio, Black Power Radio, 8 o'clock every Monday and 8 o'clock on Wednesdays and 11 p.m. on Saturday nights, the boldest black radio show in the hills of America or really anywhere in the world. We're back and we will be consistent. I just want to do this before we get started. Let's take a moment of silence for the ancestors, a moment of silence for Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and Harriet Tubman and Huey P. Newton and Ike Knotton and Imhotep and Queen Hatshepsut and Queen Yahya-Santiwa and all of our greats and all of those who died in the Middle Passage and were killed on the continent of Africa and in the hills of North America and even in our own blacks and neighborhoods. That's just in the spirit of respect for the ancestors and getting in tune with our spirituality and opening our third eye. Let's take a moment of silence, and let's just breathe deeply through our nostrils and take some deep breaths for a couple of minutes and relax and reflect on where we are on this opening night of Ramadan and other spiritual practices. We will do that right now. And if you could, with me, do this with me. Let it just breathe slowly and deeply through our nostrils as we prepare for this broadcast tonight.
Organizations and our function and our performance.
Change in terms of police brutality. Change in terms of racism. Change in terms of white supremacy. We must, at this time of reflection, look inward and ask about the revolution of ourselves and the change that must take place within ourselves if we are to have a real change of bringing about a change and an end to the wickedness of what we call the white man's world. Can you feel me? So we must address the political and our political issues and our political problems. We must address our economic issues and economic problems. But we must be holistic. We have to look at the whole problem, the whole system of what we call this black movement inside of the tentacles of this octopus called America, and to see how fit we are to fight. And to look at ourselves and our organizations to prepare ourselves better for a fight against the most powerful wicked beast that has ever existed in 76 trillion years. And if we are even to dream or to vision that we would have a chance to reach that goal of the black world's rise and the white world's demise, I would think it would be my best offer to you and to myself to self-reflect and to really look at our condition and for us to have a conversation and speak to ourselves holistically about how we are going to fight for the rest of this year and for the rest of our careers. Listen to me good now. I would like y'all to just pay careful attention to what I have to say. I haven't been on the radio in a while. This may be a different type of approach to the broadcast. Again, I do want to thank Minister Sean Quali, the national spokesman of the New Black Panther Party, for his strong words and presentation. The national sister, Sister Amira Sankofa, for her dedication. The national minister of protocol, Sister Keisha, for her good work and dedication. I want to thank Sister Khadijah up in New York for staying on the case of this beast. Dominique Strauss-Kahn in defense of a black woman from Guinea and for rallying and taking the front on behalf of the United Front and the New Black Panther Party. That's right, I'm mentioning a lot of black women because the black women here, quietly and not so quietly, are coming to power in this movement. I want to thank everybody else that's fighting in this struggle consistently. I want to thank all of those in the United Front. Certainly, this is a broadcast that is pertinent to the United Front for black and African peoples. Certainly, it is a broadcast that is very pertinent tonight to members of the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. Take heed to every word. Certainly, it is a broadcast that could also prove relevant to those in the Nation of Islam or those who practice Islam in general. Certainly, I believe that this broadcast is pertinent to those who follow Kemetic or original African ideology and philosophy and who believe in the laws of Mayat. Certainly, in this holistic talk that we will have tonight, there will be a lot of talk about balance, about order, if we are to bring about reciprocity and speak truth into the world that would make a difference. Certainly, we must tune in and open up our third eye. And no matter what religion or science is talked about tonight, I must let you know that the laws of Mayat are primary here with Malik Zulu Shabazz. And my advice to all of us, to reapproach where we are in the struggle, where we are in our organization, and where we're going at this point in time, so we can be more effective. But certainly, if you're in the Hebrew faith or ideology, again, this is the place for you tonight. Certainly, if you're into a Pan-Africanist ideology, you're in the All-African People's Revolutionary Party or the Yahuru Movement or another Pan-African front, the December 12th Movement or others, certainly this talk would be relevant to you tonight as African people. Certainly, obviously, if you're a black nationalist, this is your home base. This is the radio broadcast of what is called black nationalism here in the hills of North America. But again, what I want to do is to discuss with you a revolution, a complete constructive change. When we say complete constructive change, we don't just mean a change in the white man's world. We also must look within to see where we must change if this is to be a complete constructive change. Otherwise, we're going to have what's called dissatisfaction and frustration in the movement, and we will never put an effective fight against the real devil, because the obstacles that we're facing in our own personal lives, in our own organizational lives, in our own movement lives, will keep us far, far away from tangling with the real enemy. We will constantly be dealing with the afflictions, the lack of balance in our lives and in our movements. Why do revolutionaries do great jobs for 6 months, a year, or what they would call in the Nation of Islam, I'll make sure he had 90-day wonder. He signed up, he got his ex, he wrote his letter, he recited. He's the awesomest FRI ever for 90 days. But what happened after that? And we ever wonder what happened to Brother So-and-so who was in the Panther Party? Brother So-and-so who was in the mosque? Sister So-and-so who was in the Yahuwah movement? Brother So-and-so who used to be teaching? What happened to them? I often have to ask myself, what happened to Brother so-and-so on the campus of Howard University? What happened to Sister so-and-so strong on the front lines on the campus of Howard University? Where are all the freedom fighters that I've passed up in all of these years? Some are still here, but all so far too many are gone. And you would have to ask yourself the same question. It sometimes seems like the movement of these organizations or the mosque are a revolving door. Amen? And so let's try to listen to you carefully to see if we can correct some of these problems, or to see if we can band together and study really nothing new that I will bring you tonight. There's nothing new that I'm going to explain to you tonight. But it is a reiteration and a capsulization of some of the best things that we have been taught over the years to provide clear guidance and a roadmap to where we may go in the fight for the liberation and salvation for our people. We've got a major fight on our hands against police brutality. It's awesome. It's awesome when you can see a bunch of pigs surrounding that black man in Miami and firing off 100 shots. Gangster and the witnesses smashing and breaking their cell phones, Nazi style. Or when you see it in Tampa, Florida, the beast just throwing the people around. They even take a white man or a devil out of his car and tell the devil and handcuff him and tell him, I'll blow your effing brains out. As it is being ran on CNN, the white man thinks that's outrageous. We go through that every day. This is a hell of a problem, a hell of a system, a hell of a beast that we're dealing with. And any leadership that will come before you and say that they would try to help you or to serve you cannot even dream of approaching the problem thinking that he have it all made up or all knowing from the beginning. Or that he know it all or she know it all
from the beginning. Or to be so arrogant as to think that they could not have a new approach or to change or to evolve. The Bible say a wise man changes often, a fool changes not. Okay? So we don't get weaker. You don't change the teachings. You don't change the rules. None of that changes who God is, who the devil is. Separation is the best and the only solution. All that remains the same. But you have to be, I have to be. You have to be, and I have to be humble enough, self-reflecting enough, spiritual enough to know that we have to change and evolve if we're going to deal with the awesomeness of this police brutality, the awesomeness of this budget crisis where they just slice and cut the budget and you ain't had no word in it. Not 1 second have the black interest of what would happen to the black man or the black woman or the prisoner or the elder or the senior citizen or the youth or the school system came up in the debate. For all of our talking, we are meaningless when it comes to the affairs that will decide the status of the brothers and sisters that live in the United States of America, and I would venture to say anywhere in the world. So none of us are being successful. You can beat your chest all if you want to, saying you're the new Black Panther Party. Or you can beat your chest all you want to, saying you're the Nation of Islam. You can beat your chest all you want to, saying you're the Church of God in Christ or the AME Church, and you're this and you're that. If you're black and you're in all of that, no matter what kind of building you got, membership you got, collectively we have no say-so and no power in the national and international affairs of the earth, and we are like little children. So we need to get a grip on reality. And if it wasn't Ramadan, I would say we were effing up. But it's okay. We don't want to come here tonight and just beat our people. Now we have to give us a dose of reality to take us from being so cocky or being so deluded as to think that we got a hell of a job ahead of us. And so we have to, again, come back to my point here about this complete constructive change and looking at this holistically in the whole sense. You can't just address part of the problem. You can't address just the symptoms of the problem. We have to deal with the root of the problem and the whole of the problem and deal with the condition of the health and the wellness of the revolutionary so that we can have better fighters, more long-term fighters that would make up the cells for better families, make up the cells for better organizations, movements, committees that could thereby make up a healthier and stronger nation. Let me explain what I mean. Look, the health of the black nation. You have to address this. And Ramadan, for those that are into Ramadan, everybody here does not practice Ramadan, but there's something you can learn from Ramadan. Talking about fasting here for the next month, also under the traditions of Islam. But fasting is nothing new to the black nation or to the African nation. Our ancients, long before the Prophet Muhammad, was a sign in his mother's eye, or a seed, or a clot in her womb. We taught the principles and practiced the principles of fasting. That's very important.
because we're losing too many revolutionaries to health problems. We're losing brothers and sisters to high blood pressure. Losing brothers and sisters to diabetes. You're losing them to cancer. Losing them to obesity. And so the first thing that we need to reflect on right now, whether you're into religion or not, it makes no difference. We're not talking religion here. We're talking holistic. We're talking about the health and wellness of the person in the struggle, the soldier in the Panther Party, the revolutionary in the United Front, the sister or brother in the mosque or the temple of the Hebrew or the Pan African member. But right now, we need to understand that our diets must change. And simply saying, I don't eat pork is like playing a 20-year-old record, a 30 or 40-year-old record. Let me tell you this. The white man knows how to eat. He's just not teaching you how to eat. I just come back from Whole Foods Market. Go to the organic market in your area. Go to where white people have just a little bit of status. In the urban areas of America, they're doing it in the country areas too, but in the urban areas of America, and you go to these organic markets and the white man is all in there. You're not in there. He knows how to eat. He knows what to eat. He knows what not to eat. He gives you this ghetto Safeway. He gives you a ghetto Giant food. He gives you some processed food, some artificial food, some fat, fried, greasy McDevils and Wendy's, and keeps our people fat and overweight and jacked up. He combines it. Huh? Then he combines that with inadequate health care. Doctors that just really poor doctors and an overall absence of a lack of knowledge of how to interact in the black community, and you have a major disadvantage in it, a major disadvantage in the people trying to get free when the dietary practices of their enemy, which keep them healthy, are much superior to a people who diet and health practices that are being oppressed, and their diet and health practices are so inferior. It's like starting a race, and the white man is way down the field. And so we're going to talk about revolution and catching up, brothers and sisters. I must say first, in the holistic sense, addressing the whole of the person, the whole of the revolution, looking all around in 360 degrees as the ostrich feather is represented in the medulla oblongata. We are now. We got to come off of this beast. We got to stop eating death, saying we're revolutionaries. Seriously. You know, and this comes from a man I go out and congratulations, either you won. I'm so concerned with the struggle and pushing the mission and pushing the flyers and going from city to cities. I'm just like the man who came before me. Damn it, I'm over at Popeyes too. But not no more. Not in a while, really, but certainly not no more. We got to take better care of ourselves, and we got to recognize that we're going to be better fighters keeping enemy food that are enemies to our health and wellness. Hold on a second. Keeping food, am I back home? Well, I'm just certain I'm on, okay. Keeping food, enemy foods, out of our kitchen, our home, and out of our lives, and eating less. If you're not fasting, that's fine. But what about eating less? Think about that. That should get your mind working. We're eating too much. We are weighing too much in the movement and in the community. You can't do no revolutionary with a gut that big. Seriously. Come on, brothers and sisters. We have to start eating less. We have to approach or practice a vegetarian diet. And if there's going to be any meat in your diet, make sure that it's organically fed. Get it from the organic store if you got to have it. Not that I'm recommending it. But the first part of this complete constructive change and holistic message on this night has got to be how to eat to live, how to eat less, and how to get ourselves in better shape so that we are not constantly falling victim to stress, falling victim to being overwhelmed and overburdened, being off balance. There's a balance. See, we don't have the right diets, if we don't have the right exercise, if we don't have the right spiritual policies in our lives, then we're going to be off balance, and we're going to be trying to fight half-cocked and looking crazy. 1 minute you're out there, you're strong, you're teaching hard, and you all of that. The next minute you can't be found. It's too inconsistent. 1 minute you're rolling, you're jumping the moon. The next minute you can't tie your shoes. Because we're off-balanced. Not only in the personal sense, we're off-balanced economically. We want to fight in the struggle, but we broke, some of us, and don't have no money. Others of us have jobs, but we set the slave to the job to make it for the money. We can't give nothing to the struggle. All of us are going through so much, I guess, in our family lives or our domestic lives or our relations with our wives or our children that there's so much confusion going on, we become ineffective as fighters. Ineffective as members of the movement. And so I'm trying to address these issues tonight so that we will look at the problem that we have to face in the holistic sense. Not that we retreat from the struggle, retreat from the national battle, retreat from the our duty to oppose the attack on Africa, retreat from the issues in the 10-point platform or the PASA party, not that we retreat from the issues in the 10-point platform of the Black Muslim movement, or that we retreat from the mission statement of action. But this is some advice from your brother so that we can be prepared for everything that's coming down the pipe that I will talk about tonight. We prepared for August 13th and to go out here on these streets of New York City. I know what it's like on Malcolm X Boulevard. So we had up to 20,000 to 30,000 there on Saturday, September 5th, 1998. But with our 30,000, the police and the beast brought 5,000. Stormtroopers in the street, snipers on the rooftop, barges on the river down off near Central Park, and armored vehicles surrounded us, and they laid a trap for the Million Youth March under the convening by Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and his assistant, your brother. At that time, the National Youth Director, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and our comrades in the December 12th movement. And they laid a trap. And they set the trap. And I know what lies in wait on that boulevard. And so you better wake up if you hear that the Automobile's Farrakhan and the December 12th movement and the New Black Panther Party and Malik Zulu Shabazz and everybody else that's on that fly are going to take a stand for Africa, take a stand for black people. You better wake up fast and know that this is serious. This just ain't no event. This is dangerous. This is serious. And if you're sleeping on this devil, think he's going to be kind to you, then you have fallen asleep, and the devil has fooled the Muslims. Yes, nowadays. And so what I'm trying to do as a brother is help give you some keys to prepare you for what's coming and how you got to be mentally, morally, spiritually, physically prepared and on point on August 13th. Prepared and on point for October 1st, the third day of action. Prepared to dedicate your life, your prayer, your sacrifice, your life, your death, all for Allah, but all for Allah's mission, which are inseparable. Ain't no worship of God without worshiping the mission of the God. But if you're going to give your all in all and be consistent in this and be able to be counted on year after year, dear brother and sister, let us tune in here tonight. And take this tape and spread it to other revolutionaries. Spread it to other members in black organizations. Spread it in the civil rights movement. Spread it around as an offer from your brother and an analysis of where we are and what we have to get prepared for. We have to prepare for war. And we have to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. The whole armor of the black God. And you're talking about the black man is God, but you're going to have to be able to get back to or get out of you the nature of divinity that's in you so you can fight like a God or fight like a goddess. Again, the white man knows how to eat. He gives you junk food and garbage food. He does not eat that. He eats organic. He eats foods that are low in fat. He gets his vegetables in. And his lifespan, his stress level, his average blood pressure readings amongst his population is much, much less. Dear sisters and brothers, that's the first lesson. Let me make sure I'm marking time. I know this is, it's 8:55. Make sure I'm still on. Am I still on? I'm going to keep pushing on. I think my tech man has went to pick up his queen. So again, our first advice from your brother as we move and get ready for war here in early August. And at the beginning of this month of Ramadan, for those that are practicing it, or for those that are spiritual, we have to understand that the spiritual part is as important as the political, as the economic. It's the spiritual part, not necessarily the religious. If you have a specific religion, that's on you. That's fine. No problem. But I'm talking here spiritually. And when I say spirit, I'm saying even the spirit of the movement and the spirit of our place. You know, even in a sports game, they talk about the spirit of the competition. What is the energy level? What is the spirit of you as a revolutionary? How do you wake up every day? What kind of spirit are you in? What kind of mood are you in? What are your thoughts about the movement? Do you wake up every day positive? Are you in a positive spirit about what you're doing, about what your assignment is, about your ability to handle everything that's in your life? You see, one thing about the brothers and sisters that are listening on this broadcast, you're not Negroes. In consciousness, in terms of your belief, you're different than what we call the 85%. Many brothers and sisters out here could see what you see, could see current events and the condition of our people as they are, and it not bother them the way it bother you. You see, there's something special about you that the ancestors and the God tapped you on your shoulder and made you sensitive to the suffering of black people, while maybe your brother and your sister is not so sensitive and not so concerned and have not decided to join an organization or a movement because they weren't tapped on their shoulder. The same kohar word did not rest on their shoulders the way it rests on your shoulders. You're burdened with this knowledge. I'm burdened with this knowledge. Khalid Abdul Muhammad is burdened with this knowledge, or this what's called love for our people. You love our people so much and you hate injustice, now you're burdened with the love. When you could, if you wasn't burdened with the love, you could be ambivalent or care less about it and be just a happy-go-lucky nigga, because it's many of them. So you have to say that there's something unique about you who are listening, that you're burdened with the desire to help our people. You know that we have to organize to get out of this condition. You know we got to unite. You know we got to go raise our people. But what is your spirit now that you have been called into the mission? Is your spirit up? Is it up and down? Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. What is our mentality every day? What is the state of our minds? What is our mental state? Are we balanced? Are we mentally healthy to the point where we can be effective as members and leaders and partners? And if not, it's okay. But we have to be willing to get some help so we can become balanced. So we can restore order. So we can restore order. If we're going to build a new world order, the first world order and the first new world order has to start from within. All right. I'm hoping I'm not boring you tonight. I'm going to have to say this, and maybe it's not that exciting, but it's not my purpose necessarily to be exciting. I'm hoping to be enlightening, to the point that we can come out of this session better revolutionaries, better members, better family members. Let's go back to our spirit. What is our spirit to our brother and our sister? Why are we sometimes and still being harder on our brother and our sister than our enemy? Why do we crack down, crack on, and crush our brothers and sisters faster than we crack down, crack on, and crush our open enemy and the people that have dogged us for 400 and even 2,000 years? Could it be because of a bad spirit? Could we need to reevaluate our spirit towards each other as we move towards the latter part of the year 2011. I'm saying let's readopt a better spirit towards one another. And let's re-examine this word we call love for each other and see if we can practice it better. Because love for your brother or your sister has to be predicated on a love for yourself. And if you are dissatisfied with yourself and angry with yourself, you may be taking it out on everybody else. That could be a factor. It may be a factor. So before we get out here on Facebook and get out here trying to crush and condemn every other organization's doctrine or teaching or leader, let's make sure that we are satisfied and self-assured that ourselves and our organization and our level of performance is satisfactory and pleasing to us before we try to condemn, crush, or crack on somebody else. Ashe? Talk to me, brothers and sisters. Let us seriously try to make a real change from digressing and becoming niggas. The Holy Quran said, I have made you into tribes and families so that you may know one another. The Black God said, I have made you into tribes and families so that you may know one another. And that also means so that you don't despise each other. And so there are many tribes in the Black nation. And I would suggest that when we deal and approach and talk to each other, that we do it in a more respectful way. And we try to learn and look at the good points and the positive values that other brothers and sisters, groups, or teachings is giving to Black people. I suggest we look at it more positively. Be more positive about it. Try to learn more than to be so quick to condemn. And even if it's something that we know should be condemned, maybe just as we say, believe it or let it alone. If it's something that some group is doing and you know it's wrong, for the sake of the overall better goals of the movement, try to deal with that carefully or wisely or just leave it the hell alone. There's a lot going on out there that I don't agree with. But you don't see me out there going around taking pot shots at other leaders and other groups at what I don't believe in. I try the best to put forward what I and we believe in and to show that it is an effective way rather than down in the next man. And I can take you to Garvey and Elijah all day on that. As they say in the Muslim terminology, holy dust to clean glass, you don't have to condemn the dirty glass. If you got the clean glass, if you know so much, if you're so smart, if you got it together so much, if you're so wise, well, show it to me. And let me see it. And shut up. And stop talking. But let me see your superiority, your supremacy. And all I can do is bear witness. Because I have what they call in the courtroom prima facie evidence. Clear and demonstrative, overwhelming evidence. Not just a bunch of talk and running off at the mouth. Y'all with me? I might not even get to this budget crisis tonight, but you got to see this and you must internalize this. We got to take another step up the ladder. We've been on a hell of a journey this year with the Days of Action 1 and 2. We built the movement here. On this line is a movement, nationwide and international, and those who are listening in and wondering what's going on. Wondering, are we serious? Wondering, is Malik Shabazz going to leave this alone and turn in some other direction? Is he playing with the Day of Action? is he playing with the United Sons? Our people have been played with so much. And leaders come out and announce stuff all the time. Then they go to something else. They don't even explain to the people what happened to the last project. Sisters and brothers, I cannot do that to you. I have to. That's just how I am. People will actually say that that's a fault. They say he's too consistent. He's too much of a taskmaster. He's a black slave master. He's always doing something, demanding something, pushing something. And that is true. But also, I have a duty as a brother to you to look at our condition holistically, balanced under the laws of Mayak, and to be able to look at why we are not as consistent as we should be, why we are not as effective as we should be, why as a movement we are not where we should be, challenging the powers that be and overturning this world and bringing a new world in. We can do it. Let me let you know. Right now, we can do it. Don't get depressed. Don't get down. We can do it. But we got to get serious. And we have to have a teaching that can pull us through it. That is the job of every teacher that is on, that is listening here right now. There are many teachers on the phone. Your job is to teach and pastor and guide the people, even if you just teach it or pastor or guide in one. Each one teach one, one or ten. It's to help guide them holistically and set an example for them. So we can be better fighters. Am I still on? Let me know. Am I still on? I'm praying to God I'm still on. Well, I would never be able to repeat this again. I guess he'll come tell me. I think he went to kick his screen up. If I was off, he probably called me, or somebody called me. Or he would call me. Just anyway, I'm going to keep right here focused and balanced. Let's hold on 1 second. Let me just take a deep breath. Because I'm going to advise that all of you also practice as part of your health and wellness. I would advise you also to take up yoga and meditation during this intermission point, in this lecture, or this conversation. Take up yoga. Yes, do all of the other physical exercise, box, play basketball, push-ups, run, swim, all of that's good. But also, take some knowledge from the original people of the East and involve yourself in a yoga class or a yoga practice so that we can increase our balance, increase our level of harmony, increase our level of order and tranquility internally so that we can be better fighters because we face devil stress. We face not only the average stress of black people, the stress of economics, the stress of how bills don't get paid, the stress of the economic conditions in the black community. Then there's the stress of the black community, stress of things going on around in our neighborhoods that white folks don't have to deal with. The stress of issues with our children and our wives or our babies or even our baby mamas or court stress, legal stress. Stress is all about in the black nation. And so if you're going to put on the whole armor of God, you got to deal with the health and the wellness of the physical aspect, the mental, physical, the mental, the spiritual, and the physical. And I'm suggesting to you that yoga is one of the ways to, that is a transmission and a transformative point to bring into harmony the physical and the spiritual. It is a way to calm our cells, calm our nerves, to steady our cells so we're steady in the fight. Doctors fighting great in the first round and a bum in the second round, knocked out in the third, coming back in the fourth, swinging wild. In other words, we call it just a bunch of hype. In the black community, this is just a bunch of hype. We got to be consistent so we can bring balance to this struggle. All right? Do this. Somebody do me a favor. Call my cell phone and tell me that I'm still on the air. No, text me and tell me I'm still on the air while I don't make a fool out of myself. That's worrying me right now. My Texas. And I'm pushing off. Tune in now. We're talking about Revolution 2011, the complete constructive change. August 13th, the budget crisis, all of that, but I'm dealing with the internal revolutionary in the black nation, our health and our wellness, our spiritual and mental state. Hold. Let me check. Okay, they say I'm on and doing good. Okay, thank you so much, dear sisters and brothers. Thank y'all for being patient with me while I went away, but sometimes it's good to go away for a minute. Sometimes you don't want to be heard all the time. It's people that always want to be seen, always want to be heard, always want to be to make a video. And we got to be careful not to play with the people. So I think it'd be best that if ever I ask you to do something or come before you, I take time to explain why and then to analyze where we are, and to help us, I should be able to help you whenever I talk to you. Just talking the talk is over for me, and I hope for others. Now, strive for balance. Strive for normalcy, brothers and sisters. Strive to have to get our acts together, clockwise, spiritual-wise, physical-wise. Now I want to talk about family and economically, which are tied together because you really can't support your children or have a family, particularly talking to the black man, without having your economics together. And so I'm going to say something that most leaders in probably the black nationalism or revolution really won't say or don't say, but I think out of my own personal experience, I should say, and this is to sisters and brothers, I don't care what age you are, I would suggest right now that you go back to school, to a college or university, and I'm going to say any college or university, and get that undergraduate or graduate degree that you may have missed due to whatever circumstances. I'm going to encourage all of you right now to do that. And I'm not going to be shy on encouraging you to do it for fear that I might lose your time. Because you're going back to school and you're not going to be here to work for me. I've been in movements and people want me to work for them so much that I couldn't develop myself more to help them. I'm telling you this, brothers and sisters. Look, don't be afraid to go and get that online degree. Go back to that community college. Go back to that undergrad institution. Go back and get that grad degree. Go back and take that 3 years and get that law degree. You're going to need as much education as you can. I'm talking about degrees that can qualify you to make some money, to be able to succeed more right now so that you can be better equipped in the struggle. There's too many broke revolutionaries. And everybody is not going to go out there right now and open up no store or come up with some great buy black opportunity to solve their economic problems. I know what I'm talking about. in Malachi York movement. And greetings to all the new audience. I gotta start giving y'all the greetings early on. And if I haven't in the past, I'm sorry. But to all the new audience and followers of Malachi York, let me tell you this, one thing I know about the new audience and that movement, as conscious and cultural and black as they are, they keep them some good jobs. And that new Wabian movement, they be working in all kind of corporate jobs and all of them stuff. York has some people, Malachi York, 33,720, had some brothers and sisters that were well-placed. And while he's locked down in prison, trust me, they put up hundreds of thousands for many lawyers and were able to back them neither in anything because his followers were well-placed. We in the nationalist movement and even in the Muslim movement have somehow had an aversion to higher education, and too much of an aversion to higher education to the point where we don't know how to go ahead and use the educational systems of this world to your advantage to supplement the revolution and to supplement everything you learn outside of that. We need revolutionary doctors, revolutionary lawyers, people with revolutionary master's degrees. We need more revolutionaries with college degrees. So at least they'll have some money in the struggle. So they'll be balanced. So they don't always be out of pocket. But also so they can offer skills. Did you know in California, dear brothers and sisters, where I just came from for this period of reflection, Asians in California, the Asians in California are 54% of the University of California college. Did you know they are 54%? It's 13 state colleges, the University of California, and the Asians have beaten them over. I'm talking about Mrs. Chick and Mr. Kim. They haven't changed their names. They believe and still study and go by the practices of their Japanese or their Chinese or Korean culture. But they come here and suck up every piece of education that the white man got on their campuses and now are running him off of the campuses. And they are becoming a giant in California and all over. Brothers and sisters, we got to get as much education and skill as we can until we can build our own universities and schools and institutions and middle schools and all of that, which is obviously our goal. But we'll never get there with an unlearned population. And a population that unlearned and low-wage earners is going to be hard to have balance in a revolution. It's too many nationalists that believe that everybody black is successful. Being successful is unrevolutionary. And taking pot shots and griping and cussing out every black man that's got a decent job or wearing a suit. But you can't get a quarter to get on the bus to get to the rally against the white man. You can't get a fly out of Kinko's. But you're knocking everybody else like you're ahead of the game, but you can't get a fly out. Come on. Revolutionaries got to get a job. As Malcolm X said, a better education qualifies you for a better job. Go back and get that degree, man. Don't doubt yourself. Go get it. If you can't get it right now, get a vocational trade. Get you a trade in carpentry. Increase yourself is what I'm saying. Wherever you are, don't doubt yourself. Challenge yourself and increase yourself so you can do better because, again, somebody has tapped you on the shoulder. The ancestors have tapped you on the shoulder. You've chosen for this mission. You can't get out of it. So So you might as well be the best, most healthiest, well-equipped fighter with some money in your pocket and still giving the enemy hell. You got to, that's going to make you stronger. See what I mean? Where's the hard guy? He got his act together. The leaders that we love got their act together. If you and Al Sharpton, he's got his situation together. If you and Omari Sicilia, he got his situation together. But what about you? They rolling, but are you rolling? If you saw Malik Zulu Shabazz rolling, but what about you? Are you rolling? I didn't take nothing from you to get anything I got. I took not a dime from the people. I haven't got charity in 10 years. I didn't ask for it. That must mean I know something that I'm telling you about. I mean, I have at least practiced some of what I'm telling you tonight to be able to maintain a frontline position in the liberation struggle. To maintain a workload in the struggle that I don't believe is second to none, to maintain a law practice, some of this good earth that I can call my own, handle my business, take the stress of the moment and the stress of just being in the black world and the stress of trying to be, manage all of this. And still keep my wits about me. I must know something about what I'm telling you, even as I'm growing and evolving myself. My dear sisters and brothers, we are rolling. There's got leadership that's doing well, but we want the movement to do well. We want everybody to do well. We work for our brother and our sister when we work for ourselves. That's the main point here tonight. Otherwise, you know what you get? We get leadership as a popularity contest. We get leadership that maybe feels good to the leader, but what good is it doing the movement? What good is it if the leader is shining and he's appreciated and respected and he's well taken care of? But the brothers and sisters in the movement have yet to achieve that kind of heaven. We want a heaven for everybody. Otherwise, it's a heaven for nobody. It's a hypocrisy. Let's get the economics together, brothers and sisters. You can't blame it on me. Don't blame it on me. I've left y'all around for at least a month now. I haven't bothered you. I haven't put no pressure on nobody. Don't blame me for the fact that you don't have your finances together. What we have to do is start making better choices, better decisions, saving our money. And doing the hard work and making the choices necessary to improve our economic lot. And getting ourselves in a position where we can take the better advantage of opportunities to have more money in our pockets. And that's one thing most leaders ain't going to tell you. They never going to tell you about how really to put more money in your pocket. All right? So to come home, brothers and sisters, you had enough time. And as we go into the fall, we have to work. All revolutionaries, all Black Panthers, and the members of the Black Nation, you have to have a job. You have to be seeking employment and maintain solid employment. And if you can go for self and establish your own self-employment that is sufficient and consistent, that's fine. But there's just too many brothers and sisters that are not bearing down and doing what it takes. Sometimes until you can do better, you have to take that job at CVS. I'm just going to keep it real with you. You have to take that job at the supermarket until you can do something better. Because your wife and your babies don't want to hear all of these promises about this big dream you got and this big deal you got coming that don't never come. Your babies cannot survive off this big dream, and y'all know who I'm talking to. I'm not really making a mockery of you, but see, some of y'all know you could be helping better right now, and you are foregoing legitimate employment. And you are, everything's a big dream and a big miracle. And while you're working on all of your dreams, you better tie your camel. And see, I got to go to work like anybody else every day. You see what I mean? And some of us are bullshitting, to be honest. We're jiving and jiving ourselves, and we have to change. Talking bad about the white man and not feeding our babies is not revolution. Talking bad about the white man and the devil and being so far away from God as Earth is to Pluto is not happening. All right? And so, dear brothers and sisters, that is, I guess, the crux of my message tonight. Address the holistic level. From a holistic perspective, pardon me, from a holistic perspective, let us look at our lives, let's strengthen our lives. Let us pray more and meditate more. It has nothing to do with religion, but if you're in religion, that's fine. Pray. But meditation is an ancient principle, and all the metaphysicians teach it. And we teach by whatever land, label, or language of the God or the higher power you call on. It's good for your mind. It's good for your spirit, your soul. It's good for your neurology. It's good for your physiology. It's good for your rest and to reduce your stress level to pray. To take time away from the TV, time away from Facebook, time away from gossip. And to get quiet, and to get still, and to meditate, and to pray, and to cool, and to still, and to calm your body, senses, and your person, and your being, and your soul, so that we can be refreshed and have a better spirit and a better attitude and a better capacity to earn our daily bread, to organize in the movement, to make our meetings on time, to push our programs, to push our propaganda. We have to make a holistic change. Alcoholism, dopism, all of this is going to tear us up if we don't become balanced and start approaching things from the perspective of moderation. All of this is what I'm trying to emphasize so you can be dealt with much deeper. I'm just giving you the basics of it. But these are some basic keys to our health and wellness so that we can eliminate, again, these threats of stress, high blood pressure, cancer, diabetes, stroke. Khaled Abdul Muhammad died from a cerebral hemorrhage, a brain stroke. Whether you want to accept that or not, that's on you. You weren't there. You did not examine the autopsy or talk toxicology. You did not talk to his doctors. You were not there. I was there. And I only tell you this, that stress can kill you. And you cannot ignore obvious signs that stress can kill you. Again, the brother or sister in the movement face double stress. The stress of the movement, the stress of the community. So we just have to address these issues. Address them from a holistic perspective. We don't use this knowledge to get weaker or retreat. We get balanced so that we can become stronger and better fighters. Have a better attitude towards ourselves, a better attitude towards the movement, and we're going to have a better attitude towards one another. And so, it's 9:32. I have 28 minutes left. And so I will tell you where we're headed now. But we will always address these subjects from a holistic perspective from here on out. And I will always teach from a holistic perspective and address my life from a holistic perspective from here on out so that I can be the warrior and freedom fighter and the revolutionary that I think I am. I must too grow and evolve. And all of those that are Muslims can use the month of Ramadan as it's time now to really strengthen yourselves and ourselves in this fight. For those that are not Muslim, you can also draw on these principles of fasting, of prayer, of meditation, of yoga, of getting your life balanced, making sure that your finances and your life is balanced, your education is where it should be, that your relation with your mate or your queen or your wives is stable. We have to stabilize our relationships. We have to stabilize them so that they don't take us out of the fight. We can't have so much drama going on at home and within our family lives that we can't fight. Those are the general orders for the rest of 2011, is to stabilize the home life. Economics will do part of that. Of course, black man, bringing home and having your finances together will ease some stress. Of course it does. Some of you are just stressing yourself out more by not handling the economic question correctly. But that's not necessarily also. We have to find mates and partners that are holistic with us and that are not engaging in relationships that are stressful. If your relationship or your marriage is more stressful than it is being not in it, then let it go. Seriously. It should ease your stress, not increase your stress. Your queen or your wife or your goddess, or for you, sister, your god or your king or your mate or your husband, should be able to ease your stress, not increase it. These are part of that complete constructive change, being balanced on a holistic level. I say that about August 13th now, to come to the agenda. And I say one other thing. If you need mental, you know, sometimes I think that we're disrespectful in the movement to mental issues, mental health issues. See, I've learned by helping people in my community and being a consultant, I've learned not to make a mockery of those that have mental health challenges. But in the movement, we joke all the time, but it's becoming either offensive or immature or silly. And we need to take this thing seriously. We say, that nigga crazy. All the niggas are crazy. And we throw that word around a lot. And it's true, too, to a degree, but it's really not funny. Because the mental health issues and the psychological issues, and even on another level of psychiatric issues, that need to be dealt with inside our movement are real, and some of our people do need help. And they shouldn't feel castigated or that that's somehow unrevolutionary or unmacho or unrighteous to be able to honestly say that I need mental health counsel or therapy. And so I would say another piece of advice as we go through the year is that we take that seriously and we try to get brothers and sisters help that need help and keep the confidentiality of their condition confidential and respect them. They are our brothers and sisters too. But our mental health is something that we need to make sure is balanced, all of us. And for those that seriously have patients, we should make a mockery or a joke of it. Because any of us can get off balance in this world. You get off balance out of the laws of mind. And you can suffer from all of them type of disorders, bipolar disorder, or all of them. Now, it's 13. You may say, what is Minister Louis Farrakhan doing? Why would he go out here in the streets of Harlem like Khalid Abdul-Muhammad on Malcolm X Boulevard on the streets in the midst of all of these skyscrapers? Well, not really skyscrapers, high-rise apartment buildings. Why would he do that? I thank Allah that he said he would do it, and he showed me by doing that. That he was a bold black man, I thought he was. Because every revolutionary or every leader has to take a risk. And Minister Farrakhan has been taking risks all his life. Because you don't see him out in the streets a lot, you may not think he's taking risks of other leaders that are out in the streets all the time. And let me tell you this. Every time Minister Louis Farrakhan caught a plane overseas to an African or an Islamic country that didn't like him, and every time he caught a plane, and I've flown with Minister Farrakhan in the foreign countries, let me tell you, that black man took a risk. He took a risk for us. Every time he went on foreign soil, and a man hated and opposed by this government and the CIA and the Defense Department, he took a risk. And so he will be out in the streets of Harlem, New York. Same location where we had the Million Year March, and we had a fight with the police September 5th, 1998. At the end of our rally, we had a big fight with them. They had angered us. They had brought 5,000 police out. They had angered us by blockading the people from coming in, switching the rules. He had one set of rules ahead of time, and he technology and lies and deceit switched it at the last minute, tried to keep people out of the rally by blocking all of the streets to get out on the boulevard, sending the people and waiting around almost miles and frustrating them. He built the anger of the people up that day through unfair and oppressive tactics and barricades. That's why when you hear Khalid Muhammad on that Million Youth March tape, lift up the Million Youth March tape, and he say, lift up the railing wherever you are and beat the hell out of them where you are with the railing where you are. He was talking about them railings that the police tied together all up and down that boulevard to sabotage the rally. That's what made him mad on that day. That's what drove his blood pressure up that day, Khalid Muhammad, as he went off on them. He didn't go off on them for no reason. They were cheap. They are dirty. I'm talking to the FRI now. I'm telling you, the New York police cheat. They're dirty. You have excellent representatives, I'm certain, at the head of your security command. They're well-versed and experienced in dealing with relations and protocol with various police departments and other agencies. But we also know that you cannot trust the devil. No matter what he says, he is underhand, devious, and ruthless, and he will lie and switch the rules. And so my advice is, in every FRI, anywhere in the United States of America, be on Malcolm X Boulevard and 110th Street and report in for duty to your supreme captain, your regional captain, and other chain of command report to duty to defend and secure the elder of the liberation movement and the leader of the Nation of Islam, Minister Louis Farrakhan. You should get to New York by any means necessary. If you don't have a dime, you should swim from England. You should walk from Atlanta. You should tear up concrete to get there from Detroit. You should let nothing stop you. Because I'm telling you, I've been in a rally by a black Muslim leader. And don't tell me that the white man is going to treat Louis Farrakhan any nicer than Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Because the white man don't like Farrakhan either. Regardless to who or what, the devil don't like none of us. And he don't like no Farrakhan. The devil don't like no Muslim. Now, you should be there. So I'm going to tell you, if I was an FOI, would nothing stop me from being there. Not no plane ticket, no car, no nothing. I'm going to be there. Now, if you're in the New Black Panther Party, I'm going to be out there. And the cracker don't like me either. And so if I was you, and if I was like I was with Khalid Muhammad, it would have not only would I be there, I'd be there early, like weeks early. Had it all mapped out and locked down in advance. And be calling Khalid on the phone saying, yes, sir, this is my report. I'm here on Malcolm X Boulevard. I've been here. I got this mapped out, this locked down. This is what we're going to do. I got this brother, this sister. Yes, sir. I'm back and I'll be back again, sir. You can cry and whimper out there if you want to about what you ain't got and all that. Start whining and crying. But don't tell me you're going to take on this white man if you can't make a trip somewhere. I'm serious. Now it's time to toughen up. See, now I'm back. Time for some work. That's why I'm trying to help you get your mind, your spirit, and your body right, and your heart right, and your health right, because you got to fight. And Farrakhan say he's coming out here in the December 12th movement, and the white man definitely don't like that's the New York 8. They are known as some of the most radical, uncompromising revolutionaries in the struggle, for those who don't know, who are putting on this rally for Africa and Gaddafi. We know that gentrification is in Harlem, and white people do not want black people to have no black nationalist, pan-Africanist cultural marches and rallies in the Harlem. That's one reason they bring out all the police, because they got all these white businesses and people moving in, and they have declared an end to niggas in Harlem. And they know if you drive the culture out of Harlem and the black politics out of Harlem, then you can drive the black man out of Harlem. Because when his mind and his culture and his heart is gone, his body is easily removed. So this rally on August 13th on the streets of Harlem, New York, means that the city with the largest concentration of Africans anywhere on the world, New York City, must stand up and declare that we must resist to exist. And we will not let harm come to any of our leaders. And we will put down our differences and stand in ranks like a solid wall and crush any attacker that come to harm our people and to attack our people and give our lives and in self-defense and under legal law take life for the liberation and salvation for our people. I'm not calling you there. If the God is not calling you there and your consciousness is not calling you there, then you're not fit to be in this movement, and you should take off your insignia and get the hell off Facebook running your goddamn mouth. Because when the real battles and fights go down, you're nowhere to be seen, so you should shut up and try to go back and get healed so that you can get out here and fight. if you're in fighting shape, you should want to see you there early, August 12th. And be there. You should stand in ranks like a solid wall. All black and Pan-Africanist organizations, let's be there. Let's network. Let's push our program. I'm going to be there pushing our program for the Day of Action, October 1st. I'm going to be there pushing the relief program. 3 tons or 6,000 pounds of direct relief going to Africa. I'm pushing the Day of Action. Let me cover that. I ain't got but 13 minutes. So let me talk about the work. I have less time to talk about the work than trying to get your mind prepared for the work. That's what has been revealed to me. Let me try to help us get prepared to fight better. You know, when I ask you to do something, you'll be in better shape. I need help, brothers and sisters, with what I'm about to announce to you now. I need those of you that are balanced, that have your finance right, that can travel, that can produce. I need the best amongst you right now to work directly with me, and we can move mountains. I can't say we just have the faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed. We've already seen we can move 41 cities. We've already seen that we can shake up the nation. We got more than a grain of mustard seed, but I need those that are more balanced and better prepared right now to work directly with me. And we can start August 13th. Everybody in the United Front, if you say you want this concept, meet me in New York. Because once that rally in the daytime or the streets is over, from 6 p.m. to 1 in the morning, I'm going to be doing nothing but meeting with the United Front and meeting with the New Black Panther Party. If you're in the New Black Panther Party, we have a national meeting in New York City. National meeting in New York. I want every Panther there, no matter what part of the country you're in, be there. And make it there by any means necessary. We have alternative housing in Newark if the hotel price gets too high. I'll give out a number before I get off the air. But we will have a place for you to lay your head, but you have to come. We have to get our business in order and prepare for the fall offensive. And get this Panther Party right. If we're supposed to be the vanguard, if we're supposed to be the one of the top eyes of the Black Stone, if we're supposed to be hardcore, dedicated revolutionary, we should be ahead of everybody. And you know we're not. As a whole, though many of us are stars, too many of us got to get it together. Panthers. I need to see you there if you're part of this. And say you lead this, you will meet me in New York City for this rally in the streets and defend your nation and help with the security. That's part of the security here. And then our national meeting, it's not our summit. Our national summit will be in December, but this is the first national summit. Our first national meeting in a long time. We're going to get together and plan our work and work our plan all night. If you're in the United Front, you want to talk to me and you want to work with me and you got it together and you want to be consistent, I'm going to give a number out. I want you to text. You text this number. I will meet you in New York City and we will sit down and we will talk about this United Front. Now, let me tell you this. I got 10 minutes left, 9 minutes left. I need all of you all to get your clothes together right now, to get your good shoes together right now, to get school supplies together right now, to plan ways that you're going to get them from your family, from your fellow organization, from the church, your brothers and sisters, even get them from your enemy. And gather all the supplies that you can in your city and contact me in the way that I'm about to tell you so that we can get them from Newark, get them from Trenton, get them from New York, get them from Virginia, get them from Atlanta, get them from Louisville, get them from St. Louis, get them from other areas into Baltimore and gather them in the port in Baltimore and store them in the port so that we can ship 6,000 pounds or 3 tons of relief in a 40-foot container to our needy brothers and sisters in the United Church and inside of the Panther Party in Senegal, who have school children that are waiting for the supplies right now, and brothers and sisters who are anxious and needy to get the supplies right now, and our connections that we have built through the Day of Actions. Through the help of our beloved brother Imam Bilal Sabir and his wife, and brother Kimmy Siba in Senegal, and others, brother Huey Rose, and others, it's time now. We have it in place. We have a black shipper in place. We have the plan in place. And so if you want to help, if you're going to help, I say you got to help. That's what them 41 cities was for. Not just for a rally on one day. Now we make the movement work. And for the health of this ministry of the United Front of Health and Human Services and Pan-Africanism and me, I'm asking you, and we asking you right now, really demanding that you get all of your food and, clothes, no food, clothes and shoes and school supplies together right now. And I'm going to give you a number to text. Text area code 240-464-1520. Text area code 240-464-1520. Text Brother Akbar, my assistant, and tell us what you're going to do so we can begin organizing. I need managers' help. I need people in leadership that can help me spearhead this project, that can help make sure that the cities gather the items, that they gather them, that they have drives, clothing drives, and other activities and ways and creative methods. I've already got some pledges of some influential people that are going to donate money for the $5,000 or so for shipping. But we're going to need to raise some money and get the clothes together, and we're going to show that we can produce. Talk ain't going to get it. I'm going to show you by God's grace, we're going to show ourselves that God is real and we can produce. And October 1st, Day of Action 3, we're going to ship from Baltimore to ship the container before the eyes of the world and show that we can help Africa. And show that God is no mystery, that we can take vision and manifest it into reality. Will you help us? Will you help me? I'm begging you. Area code 240-464-1520. Text in. Email me, because they disrupted my Facebook inbox. Email me, ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com. Email ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com. Email Day of Action Movement. Pardon me, strike that. Email NationalDayOfAction@yahoo.com. Email NationalDayOfAction@yahoo.com. It's time now. It's time to get all of the clothes to Baltimore. If you can help transport them, we want to know. If you can't transport them, we're going to get some trucks and come and get it and bring it to Baltimore. But it's time to move out now and get these clothes to Baltimore. That's one of the things I'll be pushing in New York City when I hit the rostrum at this Pan-African rally. Also, Day of Action, number 3, we need you to get back in gear if you're not already in gear. And we need you to make a strong stand and turn your plans in now. Get your location, your event, and everything structured now for the October 1st Day of Action. We want to know by this weekend coming up, by this weekend, we want to know where you're going to be helping our people. And we shouldn't have to beg you for it at this point in time. You should already be on it, lightning fast, and know how you're going to be stronger and better and more effective in this day of action than the first two. We thank God for your strong efforts, but you should be expert organizers right now. You should already have a coalition right now. You should already be fighting problems in your cities and areas right now, and the day of action just is a highlight point right now. And if you're not at that level right now, you got to move out quick, fast, in a hurry. You got to get holistic or you're going to be just another statistic. Because I'm doing all of that which I told you involved in so I can prepare myself better for the fight. I planned on kicking some butt for the rest of 2011. And don't be calling or complaining or calling me names saying that I'm too hard or running from me. Because you know that nothing that I'm telling you here that is wrong, there's nothing here that is for my self-interest, there's nothing here that's paying me. I'm doing this as part of that creed that we're involved in. Our prayer, our sacrifice, our life, our death is all for God and his mission. We can make a lot of progress. Day of action right now, we need to know right away. We're going to be a mirror, and our staff is going to be on you right away all over the nation to stand up for a strong stand on October the 1st. Black farmers, if you're going to participate in the Black Farmer Program, the Black Farmer Program for the Day of Action and host the Black Farmers Market, and if you're going to be involved in black buying clubs that are going to support the black farmers, such as the Muhammad Farm of the Nation of Islam and other black farmers. We will be at the National Press Club on September the 6th with the Black Farmers President, or the Gary Grant. But if you're going to participate in this program in the Day of Action, to eat, to live from your own black farms, you need to text in now at 240-464-1520 or email nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com or shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com. If you want to be a part of a united black front, email and text them numbers. If you want to unite across religious lines, across organizational lines, if you want to help political prisoners, and help right to political prisoners, and help sisters like Ayera, who are helping our political prisoners, and build these ministries of justice, ministries for political prisoners, build all of these ministries I've been talking about. I need helpers. We need helpers. Email and text in now. Get yourself together, brothers and sisters. We got a lot of work to do. I love you. Let's come together in unity. Let's come together in love. Let's get our house right. Let's get our temples right. Let's get our Ka'bahs right. Let's become the gods and the goddesses quick, fast, in a hurry so we can get out of here and undo the damage that the devil has been doing. Big field awake. The wide awake man and woman. Black Palm and Assalamu Alaikum. Black Palm, Alaikum Salaam. So now, Sir Chairman, new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Day of Action co-convener, dear brothers and sisters, make sure that you email us again. That's nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. Again, that's nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. Or you can reach us direct for the new Black Panther Party at nbpphq@yahoo.com. Again, nbpphq@yahoo.com. We thank you all once again for joining us. We ask that you join us again this Wednesday. And don't forget, every Monday at 8 o'clock and Wednesdays at 8 o'clock Eastern, Saturdays at 11, for another edition of Black Power Radio, as we're coming back to you in your homes and everywhere where you are, where our people need to be free.